I will say the case name twice, so give me time to say it a second time because we are recording these. They are preserved both by video and audio, and they tell us we need to say it twice, so I'll say it twice. Also, because they are being preserved, if you have any sensitive material, juvenile cases with children's last names, you might want to omit the last names or use initials, however you see best fit. And with that, we will begin with our first case of the day, State versus Lowry. Oh, I forgot to introduce. To my right is Judge Rico Bishop from Lincoln. To my left, Judge Mike Pirtle from Omaha. And I am Francie Reedman from Gretna. And with that, whenever you're ready.
May it please the court, I'd like to reserve rebuttal at the end. My name is I'm Deputy Public Defender Jose Rodriguez. I'm here on behalf of our client, Joseph Lowry. This is a Fourth Amendment search and seizure case. In the present case, the court should suppress the evidence that was objected to at the hearing on Mr. Lowry's motion to suppress, reverse the guilty verdict in this case, and vacate the case because when law enforcement entered the Valles home and utilizing an arrest warrant in order to enter the home, essentially, they did not have probable cause to believe that Mr. Lowry was in the home. Second, there was sufficient evidence to show that Mr. Lowry was an overnight guest and thus had a reasonable expectation of privacy at the Valles residence such that he would have standing to challenge an unlawful search under the Fourth Amendment. And finally, had an unlawful search not occurred in this case, law enforcement would not have entered the home and found the contraband that in subsequent search of a second bedroom that led to a conviction.
Mr. Rodriguez? If we assume that he was an overnight guest, if there's sufficient facts to support that, isn't there still a problem with regard to his expectation of privacy in the locked room, which was the initial search in the house that prompted the search warrant after that?
There would be. However, I don't think that there was sufficient probable cause to enter the home via the arrest warrant in the first place.
But if he doesn't have an expectation of privacy in that room...
In the second subsequent room, correct.
Right. Does the lawful, whether it was a lawful entry to begin with, even an issue that he can raise?
Sorry, the question is if he doesn't have an expectation of privacy...
In that room... Can he really raise that was an unlawful search, regardless of whether it was lawful for them to be in the house to begin with?
I believe he can, because in order to get to that room, they need to come in through the front door. There would be no access to the room, period, if police couldn't enter the home.
So your primary argument is that they had an arrest warrant to go in without probable cause. Are you no longer arguing, as I think your brief did, that they had to have a search warrant to go into the house? That if they had probable cause but not a search warrant, could they enter the house to arrest Mr. Lowry?
No, they could not.
Is your argument they had to have a search warrant?
In order to enter the home because they didn't have probable cause to suspect that Mr. Lowry was in the home to begin with.
What about his vehicle being outside of the home?
The vehicle was registered to both him and his spouse. In the fact that the vehicle was registered to both him and his spouse, the police officer that arrived at the house to arrest him, Officer Catlin, he was advised that the vehicle was registered to two people, that Mr. Lowry, I believe, lived in another city in Nebraska, and that there was a protection order out that Ms. Lacey Bourne, his wife, had against Mr. Lowry, thus putting the police on notice that just because the truck was there, first, it belongs to two separate people, and second, at least one of those individuals, the other individual could have been driving the truck, and that if the other individual was driving the truck, if Mr. Lowry was following the dictates of the protection order, he wouldn't have been with his spouse. So I don't think the truck on its own gives probable cause.
Can we step back first and address the standing issue? Because if he doesn't have standing, then it was proper to grant the motion to suppress. And I think that was the basis upon which the trial court had granted it. So at the suppression hearing, my understanding is there were three law enforcement officers that testified, and that was it.
Correct.
Was there any evidence at that suppression hearing that Mr. Lowry was an overnight guest?
I would argue that the fact that if the court found that there was probable cause to, if the court finds that there is probable cause to enter the home based on the fact that his truck is outside, right? And I understand that this is a double-edged sword and that it'll essentially cut both ways. But essentially, if the court finds that there's probable cause to enter the house based on the fact that the truck is there, I believe the truck being there in the early hours of the morning would give reason to suspect, even without his testimony, would give reason to suspect that he was an overnight guest. In addition, when law enforcement entered the home, I believe he was found in a bedroom in the back of the home, also leaning toward the possibility that he was an overnight guest.
Or simply hiding.
Excuse me?
Or simply hiding.
That's another possibility as well, yes. Yes, Judge. I think it's also important to note that during trial, and I think this is one of the issues that the state brought up, Mr. Lowry did testify that he had stayed over at the Valles house the night before, specifically because it was cold outside and needed a place to sleep, and he indicated at trial that he slept over from the 9th to the 10th. The 10th was the morning of the search.
But that was well into the trial testimony.
Understood.
Right?
Yes. And the issue that I believe the state brought up was the fact that the counsel that tried this case originally preserved the issue during the state's case in chief. And essentially when Deputy Ojeda took the stand, he made his objection and he was granted a continuing objection. I believe the state's argument was that although he was granted the continuing objection, he didn't renew the objection during his case in chief. I'd argue that the court was at least on notice of the fact that the objection was in place throughout during the trial, and he was granted a continuing objection. I believe the case that the state cites, State v. Piper, I believe that was a DUI case, but in which the court said that the objections have to be renewed. However, I think that case, the focus of it was a little bit different than this case. I think I think State v. Piper was more focused on whether or not evidence can come in at a suppression hearing rather than whether or not an objection has to be continuously made throughout a hearing. In any case, I believe that Because he made the objection, he was granted the continuing objection. I think the court can consider the evidence. It can consider the evidence from trial when considering the entire record. This isn't a situation in which he completely abandoned the objection. He simply failed to make it again after Lowry gave his testimony. I think even without Mr. Lowry's. I think even without Mr. Lowry's testimony, I think that there's sufficient evidence for the court to consider him an overnight guest. He was There, his car was parked there in the wee hours of the morning, and he was...
So, Mr. Rodriguez, if we do assume that there's sufficient facts to determine he was an overnight guest, I want to go back to that question.
Mm-hmm.
If the entry into the home was lawful because there was probable cause, let's assume that, then the search of the locked room, right, that was the first search that revealed evidence that led to a search warrant, correct?
Correct.
And it was a locked room to which Mr. Lowry had no access. The record's pretty clear about that, isn't it?
That.
So how do you get around State v. Laura, which says that an overnight guest expectations are only to those areas, privacy, or only to those areas of the home to which they have access? And he didn't have access to that room.
State v. Laura, that's the case in which police were looking for a gun that was found in a like zippered pouch in an area where he was. Is that correct?
Well, the point is, if the law is that you can't have a reasonable expectation in a room in which you have no access, how do you get around that for your client? I mean, if the drugs had been found in a room, say in the bathroom, which okay. Mr. Lowry had access, he might have had a reasonable expectation of privacy there, right, as an overnight guest.
Correct.
But does he in a locked room?
I think the issue isn't just the locked room. I think the issue is also the ability to get into the house.
But I said, let's assume they came in lawfully. Then where does your client stand?
I believe I'd have to concede that point that he not have an expectation of privacy in a locked room he doesn't have control or dominion over.
Thank you.
Ralph? Morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. Lowry argues that the district court erred in overruling his motion to suppress because the challenged evidence was the product of allegedly illegal searches of George Vias' home. But as I pointed out in my brief, even assuming that Mr. Lowry had general standing as an overnight guest, searches simply did not violate Mr. Lowry's Fourth Amendment rights. Therefore, the court properly overruled his motion to suppress. That being the only issue on appeal, we ask this court to affirm the judgment below. So basically, he challenges both below and on appeal two searches. He challenged were actions of the law enforcement. He challenges the entry into the home to arrest him, and he challenges the subsequent search of the second locked bedroom or room. Again, even assuming overnight guest status, simply had no Fourth Amendment privacy interests or rights violated by those searches. So as to the first, we have entry into the home. It's, I think, well established under Minnesota v. Olson that the overnight guest's rights are limited to those he could assert with respect to his own residence. That's Fifth Circuit case, 2007, I cited in my brief. Peyton v. New York, U.S. Supreme Court case, says that an arrest warrant plus reasonable belief to believe he's in the house where he lives, that's enough to go in. And I think the 11th Circuit recently stated in U.S. v. Hall is very well, if an arrest warrant, reason to believe the person named in the warrant is present are sufficient to protect that person's Fourth Amendment rights in his own home, it necessarily suffice to protect his privacy rights in the home of another. He had an arrest warrant, he had reason to believe he was in the house based on the truck, based on the seeing him, or not him, but seeing the curtains in the back bedroom window move. They knew somebody else was in there. At the time that George Vias had told them that only George, his wife, and his kid were in the house, they had reason to believe Lowry was in there.
Is reason to believe the same thing as probable cause?
There's actually a kind of a split in the federal authority on that particular issue, but they either conclude it's probable cause or something slightly less than. We submit that it satisfied either of those standards. And so the search, the initial entry into the house to arrest him is fine. There's no Fourth Amendment violation as to Lowry. The second search that he challenges is that of the second subsequent search of the second locked bedroom. But as Your Honor pointed out, under State v. Lara, he simply has no privacy interest in that room because George Vias told the police, and nobody disputes, that the room was locked. It was his room, and nobody but him went in there.
So if the first search had actually been, say, in the bathroom, which Mr. Lowry did have access to, presumably, then the state would have been in trouble. in terms of this search?
Yeah, again, assuming that the overnight guest status applies to him, which, you know, as I said in my brief, I take some issue with that, but I don't even think this court needs to resolve that issue because, like I said, both searches did not violate his Fourth Amendment rights. State v. Lara, I think, controls that issue. He had no privacy interest in the second locked bedroom, since that was the only basis for his challenge of the admissibility of the evidence below. The court properly overruled his motion to suppress.
And if Mr. Baez had said, yeah, my buddy Mr. Lara did have access to this locked room as well, you'd have the same problem, right?
Yeah.
So it's all about access and the expectation of privacy.
Yes, the Fourth Amendment protection depends on the privacy interest at stake. He had no privacy interest at stake in that room. So unless there are any further questions, we ask this court to affirm judgment below. Thank you.
Thank you. And I believe Mr. Rodriguez is out of time. Okay. Case is submitted. Counsel is excused. Thank you.